You have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Revelation 12. This morning we're going to do things a little bit different than we normally do. It's something that God actually put on my heart last Sunday. If you weren't here last Sunday, some of you missed because of the snow, and I understand that. We wanted people to be safe, and I was even debating, do we do church? Do we cancel church? What should we do? And how many people are going to be here? And through that, I was thinking all sorts of things, especially because my wife was speaking last week. So if you weren't here, you missed out on my wife speaking. But she shared, and I encourage you to listen to it online. She just did an amazing job and is a phenomenal speaker, someone that hates to be up in front of people. But she does it out of obedience, and she did an amazing job last week. And so in that, it stirred some things up in me, and it kind of changed the way we were doing things today. But before we get into that, I just want to share a few things with you, and that's this. It's one of the songs that was on my heart through this and through this week is a song that called Overcome. Maybe some of you are familiar with that song. It's a song that we actually sing here in this church from time to time. Now the title I think is pretty self-explanatory, right? But the song talks about how Jesus overcame, right? And how we too, because of Him, can overcome. And that's the title of the song. And I just want to share with you the words from the bridge of that song, because these are the words that I found on my heart this week. And they say this. It says, "We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." You know, and I love that song. When you sing that song, you know, "We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." And those of you that don't know, those are actually scripture from Revelation 12. That's why I had you turn there this morning. I just want to read to you Revelation 12, verse 11. This is what it says in that scripture. It says, "They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." Now, when you look at that, "they," which is referring to the church, us. So when it says "they," that's what it's talking about. It's talking about the church. It's talking about us or anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. That's the "they." And it says they overcame Him. And the "Him" is referring to the enemy. It's the devil. It's Satan, right? So we, the church, we overcome the enemy. We've overcome the enemy. How? By the blood of the Lamb. And who is that? That's Jesus, right? By the precious blood of Jesus, we've overcome the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that word testimony, it's just a big word for verbally, you know, telling and living out our stories of hope in our lives, our stories of God's grace and redemption. This is one of the reasons it's so important for us to share with others what God is doing in our lives. Our testimony, it actually gives hope to those around us. It reminds others that they're not alone. Because a lot of times, don't we feel like we're the only one out there going through difficulties? We're the only one out there facing these things. That we're not alone. That there are people out there who are going through the same thing we're going through. We go through these difficulties, and the reality is, you know what? Other people have gone through those same things. And it's important for us to hear that. And more importantly, it's important for us to hear that there are people that have gone through those same things, and guess what? They made it through it. They overcame. They survived, right? They've come out on the other side. You see, when we share our testimonies with others, it's a powerful thing. It lifts up. It encourages. And our testimony isn't just how we became a Christian 2 years ago, 10 years ago, 25 years ago, however many years ago it was, right? That, a lot of times when we think of our testimony, it's how we became a Christian. But that's not just what our testimony is. Yes, that is a form of our testimony. But our testimonies are being played out every single day. Our testimonies are what we are continuing to learn day in and day out. How we continue to grow. How we continue to overcome. And when we share how God is moving in our lives, or the miracles that we've experienced from week to week, it encourages those around us. It's that iron, right, that sharpens iron that God's Scripture talks about. Now, I try to do this to the best of my ability, right, on a regular basis. I try to share with each of you the things that God's doing in my life as I bring you the Word. But I think it's important for all of us to do this. It's not just about me up here sharing. It's important for all of us to do this because, as Revelation 12:11 says, it's the word of our testimonies from each of us that help us overcome the challenges and difficulties of the world around us. So as I mentioned earlier, we're going to do things a little different this morning. It was in that time last week as the snow started to fall again around 8 o'clock. And as I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, man, do I cancel? Because the last thing I want is someone to get in an accident on the way to church, you know? And I'm like, you know, I'm sitting here talking, the worship team has showed up, and I'm like, how are the roads for you? Should I cancel? And so then I'm like wondering, okay, no, let's not cancel. We'll just have church with the Lord or who's ever here. And it kind of started to snow, so I thought maybe people would stay home. I thought maybe it'd be this small little group. And so I kind of started to think, okay, if we have a small little group, maybe I'll save Stacy for next week, and we'll do just some quiet time together with one another. And so I was thinking about doing that, and I'm like, oh, what am I supposed to do, Lord? And then we had a good group of people that showed up, and it was good. And so my wife was ready. I thought, you know what? We just need to share. I need to let my wife share. But then it was this week the Lord said, okay, now, this week, I want you to take some time. And so instead of it just being me sharing this morning, I'm actually going to give some opportunity for each of us to share, to give you that opportunity, and not that you have to, but those that maybe want to share this morning. You know, as 2015 has come to an end, to a close, and as we look back over this last year, I'm wondering how many of us in this room have some testimonies of what God has done in and through our lives in this last year. How have we grown? What miracles have we experienced? Because I believe God wants to use some of our testimonies over this last year to encourage others of us in this room. As a matter of fact, last night I got to hang out with our missionaries from Vanuatu Missionaries. They actually have got their full funding, and today is their last day at their church, which we know them from in Newburgh. They're leaving on Tuesday to head to L.A. They have a week there with the Foursquare Missions International, and then they'll be heading off next week to Vanuatu. And so it was our kind of last time to get to hang out with them, and I'm emotional just talking about it. Great friends of ours, great family, and we got to talk last night. And it was interesting. He asked, oh, are you prepared for this week? I said, you know, actually, the Lord kind of changed things up on me midweek here, and we're going to kind of have some times of testimony. And he said, oh, man. He said, you know, I know sometimes for a pastor that could probably be a hard thing, you know, of just, like, letting people talk, and you just never know what people are going to say, you know. And he said, but I got to tell you this. I remember 6 years ago we had a time like that at our church, and there was a lady that got up, and he said she shared something that has impacted me to this day of a testimony that God was doing in and through her life. And he said those kind of times, they're amazing. I believe so. I believe there's something powerful that happens through testimony, right? It encourages us. It gives us hope to keep moving forward when we know, oh, man, I'm going through that same thing, and they've made it out on the other side. There's hope for me. There is hope, right? And so there's something powerful about that. And so I'm going to give those that want to an opportunity this morning just to briefly share what God has done in your life over this past year. How have you grown? What miracles have God have you experienced through God and His hand upon your life? And so what I'm going to ask you to do is just come up here. You can come up to this side or this side, and I'll hand you the mic for a minute. But I think it's important for us to really hear, what is God doing in and through us? How has God moved in our lives this year? To share that testimony. And I know this is a hard thing for you, but if you weren't here last week, my wife got up here and preached an entire message, okay? And she hates to be in front of people, okay? walk in obedience. If you feel God saying yes, go share, then I want you to come up and I want you to share. All right? Do we have anybody that's brave to start off this morning? Oh, we got a couple here. Come on up. Good. We got brave people all around. All right, Karen.
Hi. For some of you that don't know who I am, I'm Karen Atkinson, and my husband died a year ago, December 8th, and this church has, God's been faithful. He's provided for financially and just emotionally, and many of you have had a part in that, and, you know, it was kind of scary at first, and God's been there. And just depend on God no matter what you're going through.
Amen. Amen. And I can just attest that. I want to just thank you. It's amazing what our church did through that process and how they continued to come and to help and to serve someone in need. And thank you for sharing that, Karen. John?
So, sorry. Mine's a little bit longer than hers. It kind of starts in 2001. When I joined the military, and I'm sure everybody here remembers what happened in 2001 on 9/11. I was finishing my basic training that day, and I basically knew that at some point I was going to be going to war. So a year later, my unit was mobilized, and I went overseas to Kosovo, which was basically a preparation mission for our next mission, which was to Iraq, or Afghanistan, excuse me. So in Afghanistan, that was pretty difficult. I lost friends to IEDs. I was in close combat situations that were terrifying. And but I got through it. But I came out different. I was sort of jaded. I had a very dark outlook on life. I didn't feel like anything could really get me. So I had a bunch of money saved up because I didn't really have any expenses, you know, being a kid, you know, not really having a place to be or anything. So I bought a motorcycle, and that was one of the biggest mistakes of my life. You know, I got pretty good at riding it. I was pretty comfortable. And I was working at Figaro's in Dallas, where I had met a girl who, we just kind of became to be friends and decided we were going to hang out sometime after work. And so we met up at a bar, and I took her for a ride on my motorcycle, and I crashed. Yeah. The motorcycle accident was pretty graphic, I guess, but my military training kind of kicked in. I had a broken wrist and two broken ankles. I couldn't stand up or do anything. But when I looked up, I saw her laying face down on the road with a big gash in the back of her leg, and she wasn't moving, and the blood wasn't really pooling or anything, and so I knew that her heart had already stopped. Some guys saw the accident and stopped, and they're like, what do we do, what do we do, what do we do? And I was like, check her pulse, see if there's anything there. And so they ran over and did that and came back, there's nothing, what do we do? And I'm like, you know, my training knows that there's almost nothing you can do. I mean, even CPR isn't really going to help at that point. So I kind of just waited. Eventually the ambulance arrived, scooped me up, and left her there, and I was kind of confused, like, why aren't you grabbing her? You know, she needs more help, but kind of in shock, not really realizing yet what had happened. Anyway, so I kind of went even deeper into a darker place where I isolated myself, just didn't really want to be around anyone. I spent 2 months in a wheelchair without really, I just gave up, you know. But at some point, something clicked in me, and I know exactly when that point was. It was when I met my wife, Melissa. She happened to be my best friend's little sister, who had a crush on me for a long time that I never knew about. And anyway, she was 19 years old, and my best friend asked me to come to his birthday party, which was pretty much the first time that I had left the house since I had the accident. And so she kind of like restarted my life and gave me a purpose. And I decided at that moment that I didn't want her memory, Leah was her name, I didn't want her memory to be in vain, and I didn't want to be a dirtbag that just screwed up his life because of her death or my past. But the real part of this story is about forgiveness. And when the accident kind of first happened, her parents invited me to go to her memorial service. And I turned them down. I said no because I was still kind of screwed up, and I didn't think that they would really want me to be there. You know, why would they invite the guy who just killed their little girl? So I really beat myself up about that. But then 10 years later, Melissa and I are married. We've got our own kids. They end up coming back down here as sort of a memorial trip for their daughter. And they sought us out through some mutual friends. And I decided, you know, I heard that they were looking for me, kind of, and I decided that, yeah, I'll go talk to them. I want them to know that my life is better and that I'm not a dirtbag, you know. And so I met with them, and I kind of told them the story, and, you know, it was really emotional for all of us, but they were just super amazing people. They were incredibly forgiving, and their biggest concern wasn't what happened to their daughter. They knew what happened to their daughter. She was a good Christian girl, and she went to heaven. It was unfortunate that she went before them, but they knew that that's where she was. And that just reassured into me that God is all about forgiveness, and you have to give him that opportunity to forgive you. And holding on to the things of the world is not a good idea.
Thank you, John. That was I got to kind of walk through that with John as he was pray with him before he met, and just the fears. And it's been amazing to see what's changed in him since that time, and the man of God that he's become, even more of walking through that forgiveness and being able to forgive himself, because God forgives us. Our problem is we fail to forgive ourselves in those situations. Thank you for sharing, John.
Wow. When Darren first started saying he was going to do this today, I was sitting there thinking, yeah, I got a lot of things I could say, but there's no way I could make myself come up here. And now I'm here, so I'm stuck. I got to come up with something. And it's not really coming up with something. Some of you know a lot about my past, and others of you don't. But just a little over 20 years ago, I found myself getting out of prison for methamphetamine use and drug use. And I've always tried to figure out what it was that I went through that for, and how I could use that to help others. And I've always known in my mind that, you know, I have all this great information and knowledge of the things I learned through all that that I could share with others. And, you know, I haven't really been able to place that anywhere. And about a year and a half ago, we moved and we bought a house. We'd been living in Dallas here for about a year and a half before that, or 2 years, and we bought our house over on Walnut. And some of you may know that I live across the street from the River of Life House, and which is a transition home for men getting out of jail, getting out of prison, that have had different kinds of problems. And in the last year and a half, God has placed me in their life, and I've been able to minister to a lot of those guys. One of those guys is sitting here with me today, Don. And recently joined the board of directors for that house to be able to help make ongoing decisions for that home. And to be a part of that, and I just it's not anything I ever could have orchestrated. It's something that, you know, clearly God has placed me in that path and finally, you know, has helped me to realize, you know, what it is I can do or what it is that I can offer for that, for the wretchedness that I endured all those years ago. So, and I'm just thankful for that.
And it's, that's the reminder of what I shared earlier. God works all things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Because there's things like my life, same situation where failures, that it's like I would never want to do and again the things that I did and the failures that I made. And you're like, God, how can you? But he uses those things, you know. I know for me in my youth ministry, there were times that I got to speak into young men's lives because of my own failures. And now Kevin gets to speak into men's lives and help them get out of that place where he once was. And so God takes those things and he uses them for his glory.
Good morning, y'all. My name is Donald Maxwell. I just spent the last 4 years in prison. I've been out for 9 months now. Kevin and Lynn and their daughter Sam is my neighbor. We love you guys to death, and you guys are a true blessing to the River of Life House. Okay, so my story kind of goes, I went to prison. The day I got to prison, my mother passed away. It was really hard on me, so I got on my knees and I prayed. And the Lord gave me clarity through all that, and that my mom's in heaven. And I started reading my Bible right then. And I kept reading my Bible and reading my Bible, going to church. And then I started going to chapel, and then I started singing on the worship team. And I've been following the Lord ever since for the last 4 years. I got out of prison. He brought me to the River of Life House where I was going through my transitioning. And he's put me in this place to be now the overseer of the house. And now I'm the overseer of the house. I got Kevin as our board of director on the board of directors because, Kevin, you're a true blessing to our house, man. And you are an inspiration to all those guys. And the Lord, and what the Lord's done for me is he gave me the gift of encouragement to give these guys encouragement to stay clean off of drugs and to change their lives and get jobs and work in the community and work with the community. And it's just a true blessing what the Lord's done with me in my life. And I love Dallas. I love this little community you guys got here. I'm not even from Dallas. This is the kicker. I'm not even from Dallas. I'm from the state of Washington. And this is where the Lord has brought me. He brought me to Dallas, Oregon. And I tried to fight it, and then I finally gave in. It's God's will, not my will. So it's his will be done and not mine. And it's a true blessing to be in your guys' community, and I love this community. I love you, my neighbors. I love all you guys, actually. And I just want to thank you guys. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, we got another brave soul coming up here. That's all right. It's okay to be scared.
Never was good at this. Okay, everybody, bear with me because I'm shaking, but I need to do this. I prayed to the Lord to help me. I have obedience going through my head, and every chance that I get, I try to tell people. Some of it's been good. Some of them have listened. Some of them haven't. One day, my brother's been coming down from Arizona. He has cancer. But my brother's awesome. He never complains. And he's a Christian man, so he has been sharing the experiences that he's gone through. And the more that I listened to him, I told myself that I wanted that too, because my life was really screwed up. And I was at my wit's end. No kidding, guys. I didn't know what to do, know where to turn. So one day we were sitting at my house, not doing nothing, just being, I was being useless in my mind. And my brother and he got to talking to me a lot about the Bible and stuff. And the more he shared with me, I got to asking him questions. And on that particular Sunday, we were sitting there, and like I said, doing nothing. And I asked him, I says, "Brother, you want to go to church?" And I guess it really surprised him because I'm not like that. And he said, "Yeah, sure." And I says, "Well, where should we go?" And I says, "I know this little church down the street, because every time I drove by here, I don't know, I got this feeling." So anyway, we came here. And we both agreed when we walked to the door that we felt something. and I really can't explain it, but a year ago, last December, the 7th, I was baptized, kept coming to this church because I love it. I look forward to every Sunday. I love you people, because when I was struggling, I prayed for him to help me because I didn't know what to do. He sent people into my life. A very special person has told me to take baby steps. Another very special person told me to read Ephesians 6. It's about the armor of God. And anyway, I just want to thank everybody. I want to thank the Lord for what he's done. I want to thank all you people, because I don't know if I could have done it. I don't know if I would have stuck with it. But because you have all been there for me, it's a great walk, and I'm never going back. And I love all you guys, and I love the Lord. Love you, Pastor Dan.
We love you, Kathy. And that right there is a great testimony of the word of our testimony, of continuing to encourage, continuing to be there and support one another, and how God works in and through that. It's good stuff. Oh, I got Polly over here. Come on up, Polly.
Well, I bet all of you loved that song, No Longer Slaves. I am no longer a slave to fear. Well, I want to tell you about fear. It's kind of a funny thing. Fear, it's not just one thing. It's like the vine that so easily entangles. It just gets into everything, and there's all kinds of different fears. And I was raised in fear, saturated in fear. My poor mother, she wouldn't even go in a restaurant that had a brick building because it might be an earthquake. You know, and I was just raised terrified all my life. And so 2015, oh boy, God said, hello, this is the year. We're going to deliver you from fear. And item after item. And one of the things that I thought was sort of an interesting jump, terrified panic attacks over any medical procedure. We're talking no matter how small. And so to go from like just a dental procedure to, hello, heart attack stuff? I mean, it's like, now, Lord, wait a minute, step one, you jump to step 96? Hello? So that's what we did in January. We jumped to, I was told I had a heart attack, and I didn't. And I missed worship practice that day, yeah. did. But anyway, so that was the kind of stuff that we jumped from. And, you know, that was one of the best ones. By the way, you've all heard that don't pray for patience because you get put in trying situations. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you pray for God to deliver you from fear, guess what? Yep. So, but it was so cool. The very week that I was supposed to go in for all these fun heart procedure things, the worship set, oh my gosh, it was all about fear. And one of the songs was, I Am Free. So I was practicing it, and I was playing it, and I just stopped, and I said, God, I'm not. I am not free. And the BSF lesson that week, of course, God just put everything together. Doesn't he always do that? Into Joshua. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then I understood, you know what? As in everything in the Christian life, it is a choice. It actually is a choice. Okay, I'm scared to death. All right, God, I choose not to be afraid. And as soon as I said that, it was gone. The first time I went into the heart center office for to schedule these tests, I was so afraid because I hadn't had this experience yet with God, and the gal there, I told her, I said, I don't know. We'll schedule it, but I just don't know if I'm going to do this. Man, this is just too much. So 2 weeks later, when I came in for the procedure and God had done that in me, I went up to her and said, guess what? And I told her all about it. And she was a Christian, too. And I went through those procedures. There was no fear. It was gone. And one of the other ones, I literally went skipping into the office. It was amazing. It was just amazing. It's a choice. And it's a hard choice. You got butterflies in your stomach. Maybe you're shaking. But you do it. You step out like when the priest stepped into those waters and then they split. Well, that's when God comes through and you know what? He delivers. And then there have been all kinds of other things throughout the whole year, all sorts of stuff. Oh, my gosh, the whole year it's like, oh, good, here's another one. Because it's not just one little thing. It was in every area of my life. And Wednesday, I thought, okay, good, we're done with this stuff, right, for 2015. Well, Wednesday night, God brought up at midnight. I couldn't figure out what was going on. Why was I terrified in a situation? And he reminded me of something from 30 years ago. I'd forgotten all about it. And I knew that was it. And so I prayed. And the next day, when I went to BSF, I the butterflies were there, but I said, no, this is a choice. I know what's underneath this now, and God, you've delivered me. And I did what I needed to do without fear. So I guess 2016 is going to have a few more of them because there was a lot. So I am no longer a slave to fear. God is good.
Amen. We have a couple more here that we'll have come up and share. All right. Join the club, right? All right. The fear.
For you that don't know me, my name is Connie. And Michelle Nave and her family has been the most blessing in the world for me. I needed grandchildren and I needed a daughter at the time. And for some reason, Michelle worked with me as a co-worker. And it come about that now her children are my grandchildren. I don't distinguish them from my other six or whatever. They're very special to me. And they've given me a blessing. Plus, they gave me this church. But the one thing I come up for, other than those blessings, is that I am one of these people that have always, all my life, I came from a very, very, very abusive home. And I accepted Christ at the age of 12. But, you know, I've tried to live my life for Christ all those years. And I've been called goody-goody, two-shoes, straight lace, everything. I used to hate that. But I'm very proud of it now. But I worked for Grand Ron Health and Wellness for over 20 years. I'd given it my heart and my love and my care. I did nursing there. One day, we ended up having some non-Christians come in, and they hurt my patients. I call them my patients. Anybody that I take care of is mine. But I've always strived to do a Christian life and show people that Christ is inside me. I'm not perfect, by no means. I'm far from it. But something happened in July 9th of last year. I ended up getting fired for the first time in my life because I defended my patients. And what some people call it is I was a whistleblower. That devastated me. I thought God gave up on me. I was really hard in my heart because I was angry with them, because what they did is the only way that they could get me fired was discredit me as a Christian. I was humiliated and everything. And so I needed to retire anyways. And I guess this is one way God got me out of there. Because I do need to retire because of my medical health. But the thing is I harbored anger, a lot of anger. Because I'm going, how dare them discredit me? I've done nothing wrong. Why are they sitting there? And then I realized I'm harboring the wrong thing. There's a reason why I'm no longer there. I don't know why, but God has his ways. Michelle, I was at Michelle's house and I was whining and crying and everything of how they discredited me. And Michelle says, Connie, you've got to let it go and give it to God. Of course, Connie wasn't going to do that. Connie was sit there in her self-pity. Well, when I read, I don't read a whole lot, but when I read, it's Christian love stories. In this Christian love story, it had scripture. And the whole story was about forgiving. You cannot be free until you give it to God and forgive. So within the last 2 to 3 days, I have prayed and I've given that hate and that anger away. So my testimony is try with all your heart just to hand it to God and let him make you free. Because now I'm happier. I'm not whining and crying because I don't have a job. Now I'm excited because I don't have a job and I'm hoping I get to retire. Thank you.
Amen. You know, as she was talking, I just want to share something I went through with my own pastor, my pastor from Newburgh, that as I walked through a difficult time and some challenges of feeling wronged and feeling hurt by that. And he said something just very unique that helped in the process of learning to forgive. And he said, Jaron, you have to realize nothing's personal. It may feel personal. It may seem personal. It may taste personal. All those things, nothing's personal. Everything's spiritual. And we have to understand that we face an enemy, and sometimes he tries to work through those around us. But nothing's personal, it's all spiritual, and when we realize that, it's easier to let those things go and to walk in grace and forgiveness. And so thanks for sharing that with us, Connie. I'm going to let you wrap things up here as we finish things up. So I apologize, anyone else, if you didn't get a chance to share and you wanted to. Part of this word of your testimony, it's sharing with others. And so share with others. Let other people know and hear your testimony.
Pressure's on. So I'm not like Paula. I've not been delivered from fear yet. My heart's in my throat right now. But when God calls, we act. And I'm just trying to be obedient. I've shared parts of my testimony with some, and I won't go too far into it. But basically, I wasn't raised in a very privileged home. And my family and my parents, I wasn't really raised with a father. And I had a bunch of stepfathers, and they weren't really good role models for me, and nor was my mom. So I was raised by my sister and my brother a little bit, mostly. And my family and my parents really struggled with addiction, and it rubbed off on me. I'll skip ahead a few chapters. In my early teens, I started getting into drugs and alcohol, the party scene, and it was silly, and it really took me down a path that I was failing at life, and it took me left and right and in directions that I just shouldn't have gone. And went all the way into high school, and I ended up
going up to try and change my life over in Bend, and I was doing bad in school, so I went there and tried to get my stuff together. It was a better school up there, and I started, but I was still partying, and I was still doing the things, just really worldly things, and I expected change, but I wasn't doing anything to make the change happen. And so I got into a really deep depression. I had a lot of suicidal thoughts and really pitiful attempts. And finally, I threw a party with my cousin, and I was just listening one night after the party died down. I was listening to conversations that people were having, and they're really shallow conversations. And I heard God just whisper to me, like, is life not more than this? Like, do you really just want to be involved in this for the rest of your life? And it's meaningless, kind of like Solomon talks about in Ecclesiastes. And so at that point, a few weeks later, I ended up moving home, and I thought, okay, maybe moving home is going to be that thing that gets me back on the right path and lifts me up a little bit out of my depression. And anybody that's felt depression knows it's crippling, and it changed me a lot. And a lot of my old friends thought I was kind of weird when I came back and was depressed, because it affects you like that. So nothing changed. It only got worse. And I praise the Lord. A friend of mine invited me to youth group at that time. And I thought, you know, what do I have to lose? Might as well just give this God thing a shot. And he transformed my life 110%. And he drug me out of a depression that I didn't think I could ever come out of myself. And and he's delivered me from a lot of anxieties that I have. And last year I got married to my wonderful wife, Courtney, and we're just trying to follow the Lord now, and it's been a huge blessing. And he is a miraculous God. And when you ever have a challenge in anything that you don't think he can conquer, I am here to testify that he can transform, and he is a God of miracles. Thank you, guys.
Amen. Thank you guys for sharing. And just as you said there, I mean, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And the key to this scripture, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And that first part is the most important part, the blood of the Lamb. The fact that Christ, he paid the price so that we can now share these testimonies. Because without that first part, we don't have these testimonies to share. But now, because of what Christ did in our lives, we get to share these amazing stories of God bringing us up from the miry clay, God helping us in those times of desperation, God helping us overcome our fears and doubts and things that we go through in this life. And so I want to thank you, those that shared, and I really hope that the word of our testimony has encouraged you this morning. I think these times, you know, it's hard to plan for these times, and I know we probably went a little bit long today because of that, but I love to give this opportunity for people to be able to share, because your testimonies impact those around, for other people to hear and say, okay, you know, because some people can't relate. Well, he's a pastor. He's got to do the right thing, right? Well, hey, guess what? I'm a person just like you. I have failures just like you. I'm human. But there is something powerful about just the next door neighbor, the person next to you, to hear those things and allow those things to be encouragement, so that it can remind us that we can get through these things that we're going through. Amen. Let me just finish this with prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for just these amazing testimonies of really what you've been doing in lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, how you are molding and shaping us into the men and women of God that you've called us to be. how, Lord, you are working in and through our failures, Lord, taking those things that the enemy meant for bad and turning them into good, Lord, using those things to help us, Lord, be light into this dark world, to reach out to those around us, Lord. And so, Lord, may we continue to share our testimonies, Lord. May we be faithful to continue to live out our testimonies, Lord, to continue to see you come through, to continue to trust in you and to see your miraculous hand at work in and through our lives, Lord, and that we would continue to share those stories, Lord, to be that iron that sharpens iron with those around us, Lord. And so we thank you for today. We thank you for these words. We thank you for what you're speaking in and through each of our lives, Lord, and what you're doing. May we be encouraged by these testimonies, Lord, and walk and live the life that you've called us to live, Lord. We thank you, and we praise you for these things. We give them to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.